Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Kids, you like professional wrestling? Well, we like professional wrestling too. Coming at you a bit early, this is Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins along with Chris Novembrino.
Ambush edition.
Ambush edition, yes. Anheuser-Busch edition too. Jeff.
Brought to you by Crypto.com.
FTX. Never mind. I have jokes, and it's probably more for don't worry about the government.
And also Mindy's Bakery.
And also possibly Mindy's Bakery as well. Yes. I am heading to Vegas in a couple of hours. Chris has, you know, stuff to do.
I'm on the road. I have on Friday a turnaround trip to Norman, Oklahoma, where I have to leave here at around 5:30 or so. Drive up to Norman, which is about 3 hours and change away, play a gig, and then schlep back here in the middle of the night, fueled by Rage and Red Bull, to get back and teach. Rage, yeah. Well, look, Hawkins, when you need to stay up at 3:30 in the morning, you need to think about your problems.
At 3:30 in the morning. You don't need to tell me about this.
I used to work at 3:30 in the morning.
I mean, that was my call time at the big law firm. But so news is sparse because the Wrestling Observer is not out yet, and everything always happens on Thursday or Friday. But there's a little bit going on. Kevin Owens MCL sprain for a knee, kind of day to day. Probably gonna have to take it easy as a person with a knee injury. Yeah, that's probably the smart thing. So that makes him kind of doubtful for War Games, I would think, as well. But I assume it might be one of those things where they might be taking it. And hey, if he rested for a couple of weeks, he might be available. But it looks like he's going to be out for the immediate future.
That is unfortunate because he has been an important part to me in the new Paul Levesque era. And I think he's a very important part ultimately in the Sammy Uso storyline. So no, not
are we referring to Sammy Uso now.
yeah. No. I mean, dude, look, you see how this guy works? You see how this guy works? See how Usy this man is on a regular basis?
Yes.
You're gonna just deny him. Okay. That's fine. But not having Kevin Owens around here as a character in the next chapters that start in like spring of 23 is unfortunate. Hopefully he's able to be back like January of next year or even February.
And they it's not gonna be that long. Day to day. I mean, it might be a month tops.
There's
no timeline on this. He didn't tear anything. It appears right now to be a sprain.
A sprain. Okay. Yes. Okay. I thought we were talking MCL tear, which is like 6 to 8 months.
No, so, I don't believe so. It's just one of those things.
My apologies. I misheard.
No, but when you sprain it, you do have to take extra care that you don't then tear something because
that is also true. It's more vulnerable. So right. He should still take more time rather. But you know, 8 weeks. I think the Bloodline storyline could actually go on for 8 weeks without having Owens introduced into the angle yet.
In a move we talked about here on Shake Them Ropes a little bit, your new NWA champion is Tyrus. And at the time we said, you know, I mean, I kind of defended it as, you know, a marketing move. Let's see what you can do with it. But at the same time, part of the problem with this move is that Billy Corgan is out there just talking nonsense. And also just kind of driving off fans by saying, well, if you don't like this, don't watch it or something to that effect.
I mean, there's another
issue. I don't think this is going to move the needle. No matter your politics or whatever, you know, Tyrus is on Gutfeld show on Fox. I get the negativity around that. Trust me.
That's not the only issue here, Jeff. The guy's just not working at a world champion. He stinks. Yeah, he's not a world champion.
And I hate to say that because Tyrus, former guest to Shake Them Ropes. I like the guy a lot from just talking to him and stuff, but his work rate is not up to snuff, and he has gotten older, and he has deteriorated from what he was before. And even before, he wasn't known for great matches. I'm going to be judicious here. I'm not going to... Well, I just said he stinks, so never mind.
No, I mean, you have to grade this presentation on world championship curve.
Yes,
and the botches are up there. They're out there.
Yes.
But like, even besides the botches, I mean, which are sort of not World League anyways. But,
Matt Cardona would have been a better choice here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyrus is just not a 20-minute match.
He's right. I mean, out of the people you could belt this on, look, Trevor Murdoch, not the guy I'd do it for. Aldis, definitely a championship type guy. Tyrus, no. Matt Cardona pretty much would be a pretty good champion for your federation, I think. I just don't want ownership out there turning off fans. I find that distasteful in so many ways. I hate when Tony Khan kind of does it. I hate when Billy Corgan does it. I hate it when Vince or Triple H even do it.
It is the principal Skinner meme of, no, it's the kids who are wrong.
Yes.
And like, I'm sorry, but like, the kids ain't wrong about Tyrus here.
AR Fox, coming off his performance last night on the Dynamite show, has been signed to a contract with AEW. Awfully nice of them, since it looks like four or five people have basically stolen AR Fox's act. AR Fox, phenomenal talent. You covered him in Lucha Underground.
Especially. Yeah, right. Yeah, no. I mean, when they bring back AR Fox, I've seen
him a lot in PWG. You know, he was always in six-man matches with Ricochet and ACH. Or Rich Swan, you know, I mean, he's a great performer. He's not going to be a star. I wouldn't belt him or anything. He's going to be a guy who, much like Top Flight, go out there, do a lot of fancy stuff, flips, and then, you know, lose to the other flippy do guys, I guess.
Yeah, you know, there's the chance with Fox, I would say, unlike, you know, maybe more of the microphone challenged people to maybe catch on with character, kind of like the way Swerve has. But yeah, I mean,
I'd love to see him and Swerve together.
I they would be a good team.
Opposed to making each other bleed all over the Lucha to the temple.
That might be a fun way to wrap up the Keith Lee storyline, right?
Yeah.
That ultimately Swerve gets annoyed with Lee since they backpedaled away from Keith Lee having the realization at the last pay-per-view that he's huge and that he can hurt people.
I'm sorry, I don't know why that threw me off, but it just did.
It's like, it was so weird. He had the aha light bulb moment, and we've now just like completely backed away from it, but he still knows big words.
Are we the baddies?
Huh. Being bad. Evil. I didn't even think about that. Since we moved away from that, a fun way to maybe wrap up the storyline would have Swerve and Fox team up, and you know, like that's sort of the big reveal here.
And the other talent debuting on SmackDown, I believe it was on SmackDown this past Friday. I can't remember if it was SmackDown or Raw, to be honest with you. Sarah Logan back with the Viking Raiders and back basically stealing Maxi Impaler's gimmick from the indies. Let's not split hairs here. This is Milton Berle stealing jokes and doing it on a bigger stage. I gotta be honest with you.
I mean, there's that, and there's just like, how many reboots of the Viking Raiders can we really do?
Yeah, I find Viking gimmicks dumb. I mean, I like the Viking Raiders as a tag team. I like them as War Machine more.
Right, I like them as War Machine, but yes.
I find also just gonna be honest, the whole Nordic factor with the Vikings, with people who do a lot of the cosplay stuff. I'm just white supremacy type things, Chris.
That's yeah, no, the yeah, it's
I get uncomfortable with Viking gimmicks. Let's put it.
No, I'm with you. There's just way too much documentation on that. And to me, the real allure of these two guys is not in the Viking component. It's in the raiding component.
Yeah,
you have these two monster dudes who like come in like a lightning bolt and, you know, obliterate a bunch of guys.
I don't
like,
care if they're Vikings. I just want them to right. be tough.
I
just want them
brutal.
To beat people
I want them
up.
To
yes.
be, I want them to be the Raiders, not the yes. Vikings.
Yes, that, exactly. Yeah. They've gone heavy into the Viking.
Right. It's all about like, the Viking side of it. Beyond it. Yes. Being problematic to me. And I'm with you on this. I just think there's just a lot of, there's a lot on that intersection. Y'all can do your own homework on
yes,
that.
Yes, that's yeah. what that's what I meant. Do your own homework. I don't
no, know. No, for sure. But like, you will be surprised at the amount of text on that. But beyond that, yeah, I just like I'm with you. The Viking thing, you know, it's goofy, right? Because it's like you can't fully commit to it and make it like Undertaker Island, where like you go into the angle with the Viking people and like Thor and Ragnarok are like important components into your storyline now, or you know, Freya's and that sort of thing. So like they're like basically like really scary cosplayers.
Yes,
they're stuck in between being the actual thing and being a copy of the thing.
It's LARPing. It's just high
yeah.
on a bigger stage, and you're just like, all right.
Yeah, they're like the psycho LARPers.
Yes. That's what I want. I want psycho LARPing.
That would be a much funnier gimmick. Yes. Well, that'd be a funnier gimmick. I don't know, it'd be scary, but like every week they come out LARPing different things, like, you know, Bushido and Samurai and Vikings and Roman gladiators.
You know, their weekend of LARPing intersects at the park with the Star Wars nerds doing their lightsaber battles.
Yeah, we could get Spartans one week. We could get yeah. Jedi the next.
Except they bring like their little plastic lightsabers, and the Vikings bring their like real axes, and things go awry. That's what I want.
These are you want segments where these guys get banned from all of the LARPing.
Yes.
Communities,
yes,
because they don't understand.
For being
so like,
too into it, for
yeah,
being
yeah, like
too into
Civil
it.
War reenactments. They show up with the Viking axes.
Yes, that's what I want. Yes,
Jedi versus Sith, redoing like the Battle of the Clones. They show up with the Viking axes.
The Highlander was a documentary, and the events happened in real time.
In real time, yeah,
yes,
yeah, it's a documentary shot in real time. Wonderful quote, thank you.
Oh, that'll do it for the news section. It's been light. All this is really just to get to Full Gear and anything tertiary we have about Raw or NXT. But yes, it is time for the Lazy River Wrestling Criticism. Anything that's on our mind, anything we watched this week. And there is a pay-per-view, and it's kind of important. And it's Full Gear. And I have partially... People who are usually friendly to me are like, Hawkins, on this one, you're kind of an idiot. But I said something last night on the Dynamite show that I got to bring up now.
No, let's talk about golf here right now.
Is there any chance, Chris, that CM Punk returns to AEW and that he's actually the devil weird not to prove exists? Because, oh, and let me explain this. I thought it was a dig at first because MJF in his promo of this horrible go home segment. First line is the first line that Punk used. I think it was in the pipe bomb or when he joined the Nexus. I want to say when he joined the Nexus. I get the two mixed up, the pipe bomb and joining the Nexus. But I believe it was the joining the Nexus where he goes, John, I hope you can hear me and that you're in lots of pain. That was word for word what he said when Nexus put him through a table and Punk put on the armband and did it. And somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, you know, he's just quoting Punk lines. It's not really digs at Punk. And so, while an homage, at the same time, it had my wheels going. And I am not out there saying that it's going to happen. But there's now 10% of me, at least, that goes, it would not shock me at all if this was just to work all us dummies in wrestling criticism. And the dirt sheet writers and the people with podcasts and all that other stuff just to throw it in our face. And I think this would also, I gotta be honest with you, I think there'd be a lot of negativity towards Tony Khan if it were true.
Yeah, yeah, because a lot of people would have been really worked, in particular the people who went staunchly onto one side in particular here.
Yes.
I think there'd be a lot of hurt fifis because...
What if Punk and the Elite came back together?
Yeah. If Punk and the Elite came back together, there'd be a lot of people having a very tough Wednesday night thinking about how they're not as smart as they think they are, and yes, that these gentlemen on their television screen have just like pointed it out to them in living color in high definition. It's interesting, right? You brought this up to me, and what I think is interesting about this theory, I'm not at 50%, like, so it's under.
Oh, I'm not even at 25. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Right, but what is interesting about this angle is that you can't dismiss it out of hand because we know things, so we say, right? But like, there's
but
still.
Let's put something else out there. The problem with the building of this card of Full Gear is it has nothing to do with a match of any kind. The draw of this entire pay-per-view is to see what the angle is with MJF, because we know he's not really a good guy.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the feud. It has nothing to do with the title match. Everybody's looking for what the swerve is going to be.
And I think it would be a brilliant thing to make it seem like the swerve is going to be that he's going to side with Regal, but in fact, he has a different mentor.
He's verbal kinted Kaiser Soze this entire thing. And he's gone after all his enemies at once. That would be interesting to me. Now that I forgot what I was going to say here, because I had something else, and it was a good point, and it was something I made yesterday. I can't think of it right now, but it'll come back.
I mean, would you think about the what we know about what happened after the press conference? It's still pretty limited.
Yes. We don't, we've never seen any pictures of anybody with any injuries, except the possible exception of Kenny Omega with a bite.
Right.
On his arm.
Right. The Omega thing would maybe be the closest thing, but I mean, look,
in a world where everybody has a camera on their phone, are you telling me that the Bucks were able to hide from everybody while convalescing? Okay. I'll believe you. I will. But
you have to understand why this has to be at least considered then.
Yes.
That there are just a few chairs missing from the table still.
Yeah.
In order to make that picture full. The fact that with Punk, I mean, everything just seems to really be lingering.
Yeah. And there's culpable deniability in saying it's because for legal reasons.
Yes.
Plausible deniability.
But then we still don't know. Yeah. There's still so much ambiguity around what the nature of the supposed investigation actually was.
Yes. If there was an investigation.
Who did it? Yeah, who did it? You know.
Because, again,
we don't even
also
have a face on that.
There's also that point that a guy's wife was in there and was not talked to about the investigation. And so that kind of brings up a couple of antenna. You're like, oh, an eyewitness to what happened? You didn't even bother to talk to them? Okay. I can believe it. Look, I can believe anything right now. I just brought it up, and it's one of those things where I'm not going to go out on a limb for it. I still like my idea of Garcia, Yuta, MJF and Regal all together. I think that's a far better stable. But this go-home show...
And that certainly seems plausible in the wake of Moxley referring to Yuta as his young boy.
Yes, and him being hurt by that, possibly. Look, this entire go-home segment was bad, I thought. From the overacting, to the overselling, to the lackadaisicalness of Moxley... I just, it just...
The lack of tension between MJF and Regal. boy, yes. Did I just not feel it between those two.
Yeah, and I have a problem with the entire card for that reason, because there's no heat on it. But let's go through this, because we might have some notes from Dynamite.
Yeah, we can weave through Dynamite through this card here, yeah.
Starting with a three-way match for the AEW TNT Championship, Wardlow versus Samoa Joe versus Powerhouse Hobbs. This Joe turn was ridiculous in so many ways.
Yeah.
It just felt like we need to do a turn for its own sake. Oh, you say you're coming after my belt? Well, I'm going to attack you now. And here's the problem is that Joe comes out on Wednesday for Dynamite, does a little dig at Triple H, which I'm just like, all right, fine. But then has a great point, which doesn't make him a heel anymore.
Right, he and he has to pivot each and every one of you are nerds, by the way.
You guys are nerds and weak and soy boys, and screw you. And
incels,
yeah. And then we have Hobbs come out, and Joe is ready for the attack, and he's looking for it. Or so I thought. No, it appears that Wardlow missed his cue in some ways and got there a little bit slow, so that it just makes Joe look like a dope. And you're just like, look, this match, big meaty men slapping meat. I'm here for it. I'm here for the Hoss fight. Hose me, baby. I could see a world where Powerhouse Hobbs takes the AEW TNT Championship to later then feud with Starks. I could see Wardlow and Samoa Joe on the Ring of Honor pay-per-view for Joe's TV title here.
Is this an all titles match?
No, this is just the TNT belt.
Which is stupid, because like it seems to me, especially after Wardlow's whole reason for having this fight now is because he was all like, I want to get every belt. Why would he agree to this match without trying to get every belt?
Exactly. Yes, Chris, you have parsed through the... I'm going like, with Wardlow the retaining.
The whole crux of his problem is, I think he's going to retain as well. And nothing will be decided because he's not actually going after Joe's belt during this.
Yes. So we both have Wardlow on that. Death Triangle versus the Elite, as announced on television for the six-man tag team match for the AEW World Trios title. My joke here was that Pac just comes out and just says it. He just says the reveal. Okay, we all know what's happening. We know the Elite's coming back. And some poor producer in the truck's like, well, guess we got to put the graphic up now. All right, put the graphic up. Look, this is going to be the party match. I think the Lucha Brothers will be motivated, because we know that it just depends on how much crap they can get in is how motivated they'll be. And everybody is going to say after this match, man, it was a really fun match until Pac decided to end it with the hammer shot on Phoenix. And everybody's going to be disappointed that it's going to lose half a star in the Observer.
Oh, you think Pac is going to cost the team by betraying Phoenix?
Yes, I think this entire card is going to be very, very overbooked in terms of angles, as opposed to getting. Oh, that's the point I was going to make about Moxley and MJF. The most shocking swerve would be a 30-minute match where MJF gets a clean pin, and then we're all just like, "Wait, what? Huh?" Yes, I think Pac hits Phoenix because it was all hunky dory and smiles on Wednesday, and that's how the Elite get the Trios title.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I guess I could see that. I was kind of confused how you're going to do... I guess the Elite aren't heels, even though they've... I mean, like, Omega's still doing the North Carolina intro, so it's always like, I always view that as a heel intro, but...
They're not going to boo the Elite here. No, they saved a dog.
It's just crazy because it's like, even with him coming out with Don Callis, who's never been presented as anything other than a heel.
Right.
Yeah, and Nakazawa and Brandon Cutler, like these are like goofus goons, but whatever.
Goofus and Gallant?
No, there's who's the Gallant? I guess you're right. I think I'll say the Elite win.
Luchasaurus versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry in a steel cage match. Other steel cage matches are any indication. Jungle Boy or Jack Perry is going to do something crazy and stupid off of this cage, following the example of Cody Rhodes versus Wardlow and the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks. The only reason for this cage is for Jack Perry to do something off of it. And I hope it's not something too reckless, but look, it's been 3 years. Maybe we should start to push this Jack Perry kid and see if he's a star. Mm-hmm. He wins.
Yeah. If Luchasaurus somehow wins this, what are we doing?
Yeah, Christian Cage got in the cage.
What are we doing if Luchasaurus wins this match?
Yeah, I want to get done with this feud, please.
It's just not, I mean, this repackaging of Luchasaurus is just so flat. Him being this silent antagonist with no clear motivation, the chemistry between him and Christian Cage just has not been there. Cage is just like, Luchasaurus does what I say, and Luchasaurus is like, do it. And it's just been very uncompelling. There's never been any sort of like, hey, remember when we were real buddies? So like pulling at the heartstrings sort of moments between Perry and Luch. Like, there's just been nothing. It's been this like boring breakup of friends where you don't even really understand why they were friends before, other than that they made sense in a dinosaur themed tag team.
Swords meme time, as in a take that will result in this, and the guy's just sitting there smiling with a bunch of swords at his throat. Here's mine. The best built feud on this entire card: Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal versus Sting and Darby Allin. I think this match might steal the show just because Jeff Jarrett's middle-aged crazy and Sting is middle-aged crazy. And they're both going to do weird stuff. Sting's going to jump off a balcony. Jarrett's going to bleed buckets. And then Lethal and Sting are both solid.
They're really good foils for one another, right? It's been weird, but like Jarrett as the anti-Sting makes a lot of sense.
They're cutting promos on each other. They're doing little backstage attacks and vignettes here and there. I loved Dutt and Lethal on Wednesday as just kind of great B villains. And then Jarrett comes in like Wayne Bloom from the Destruction Crew from the AWA. I got this, Mike. And says the promo. Look, I don't like the attacking of PAs and stuff like that, but if it leads to him getting El Kabonged in this match, I'm here for it. I think this match is going to over-deliver, and I am so looking forward to it.
Yeah, Jarrett's kind of reminded me a little bit of like Wild Bill Irwin, too.
Oh, I like that call. I was always Bill Irwin's thing for me was always that giant boot he'd do. Yeah, that was the thrust kick was always impressive. I loved Bill Irwin.
Yeah, his flexibility is like he was tall and it was really elevated.
It made me cry when he became the goon. It did. With the skates on the boots.
Here he is. The goon.
I think we're going to have some things to say about this one. Britt Baker, DMD versus Saraya. Haas of Pfeffer Incorporated.
What was this go-home promo, Jeff? That's what I have
from
to who, say.
From which
this.
One? Because
from Baker.
I got questions
from Baker.
About
both. Yeah. No, Baker was the big one for me.
Here's the problem. Okay. And this is a problem in AEW. The heels have call and response with the crowd, which makes them cool, which makes them baby faces. Jade has it, Britt has it, Swerve has it. And this is why these guys are never completely baby faces. But yes, it's like somebody put on Shake Them Ropes last week, heard our criticisms about it, decide they were going to address it, and then address it in the wrong order.
In reverse.
In the wrong order, exactly. Because Britt is now, I've earned and I've worked for this. And Saraya comes out, responds, and goes, yeah, I came here so I could fight the best. I'm just like, why did they put this one after Britt? I am flabbergasted at how bad they have scripted these roles. Who is going to root for Saraya in this audience now? She's going to get booed much like everybody else from WWE in terms of Tony Storm, Athena, Ruby to some respect, although she has this theme song and that's about it. But all these WWE people, reclamation projects have flopped because they haven't pushed them correctly. And now we've got a fourth one. And I am. There is a way here. I think Saraya can win this and Britt save face and just move on to fighting Jamie Hayter for the title.
Yeah, who I mean,
but it won't shock me.
The problem with this promo, though, Jeff, is that moving on to Hayter now, it's like Britt Baker's like, I've been the heart and soul of this division. Yes. So when Hayter everyone likes Jamie Hayter. So who are you trying to make a baby face coming out of that angle?
Well, yeah, and here's the other thing. She's been crushing the AEW baby faces with the sarcasm. Charlotte can't get one over on you because I'm always verbally on top. And now she's the face of the division, which goes the opposite way and crushes all the heels in terms of, yes, I'm the most marketable personality. I'm the face that runs the place. I'm now Becky Lynch. And you're just like, my God, she has cleaned out the division. What are we going to do with her?
Once you have Baker deliver the I was the beating heart of this company during the pandemic promo, I'm sorry. Yes. The era of her as the heel has to come to a close. You now have to turn her into a baby face, and every other heel essentially has to be like, neat biography, don't care, just want to beat you. She can keep talking about, you know, accomplishments in and out of the ring, blah blah blah. Like, but it's just over for you as a heel once you're like, I was here during the pandemic when none of these new people ever were. Tony Storm, Soraya. Her presentation. I like Britt Baker. I want to be really clear on this. It is not an issue with Britt Baker. It is an issue with the presentation of, yes, Britt Baker.
And also her... The joke we made on the Dynamite show last night was the producer who was working on them on this was overworking with Soraya, and then Britt just decided to turn on the recorder and record a promo without going over this first. And you're like, wait, what? You did what? You crushed our baby face?
Yeah. I guess maybe then I have another question or maybe another argument for why Baker needs to be turned babyface is that, like, especially if this is an autopilot promo, I don't know that she's got great heel instincts. I think she knows how to get herself over as someone who people like. I don't know that she knows how to get herself over as someone that people hate.
It's a pretty good point. Really is.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Jade Cargo versus Nyla Rose for the TBS Championship. Both people kind of have belts here, if you want to really think about it that way. I think we're going to come out of this saying that this was possibly one of Jade Cargo's best matches, because if Nyla Rose likes you, she's going to kill herself for you, as seen with Riho and Sheeta, and I believe there was another, I think maybe Anna Jay. I think that match, or maybe it was Ruby Soho. But one of the, but Nyla is more than willing to sacrifice her body to get over baby faces. And I think that's what's going to happen here, as we probably get more shots of Jade's daughter watching her as a heel. Again, baby with face her, heel
with her goon squad. She has a goon squad known as the baddie section.
Yes. But I think Jade Cargo wins this.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree with your estimation on Nyla. I think Nyla's really outkicked her coverage. I think that she's a very good foil for Jade Cargill. And
most entertaining Twitter follow in the company, by the way.
That also true. Do not get on the wrong side of Nyla Rose.
No, she brings merciless. Receipts. She brings receipts.
Merciless. I think that. I actually think that the right move here would be to make this non-conclusive and have Rose and Cargill kind of feud onwards here, because this is the strongest pairing that they have found for Cargill yet.
I will go with that. I will go with this match this feud must continue.
Yeah.
Four-way match for the ROH world title. Chris Jericho, Bryan Danielson, who is ice cold, versus Claudio Castagnoli versus Sammy Guevara. I think everything you need to know about, look, both this and the Acclaimed matches have a problem in that we've been just watching these guys in the ring with each other for the last 3 weeks. It's been
who's WWE. Who's more ice cold, Wardlow or Danielson?
Danielson. Because Wardlow, I mean, Wardlow still gets the pop coming out and he still gets to beat people up. Danielson is almost actively avoiding stardom with some of his moves. And I just don't get it. I really don't.
Man, you don't even know, to your point, you don't even see really like the robust yesing or anything from the crowd. Like that, which in a company, if indeed this company does not have CM Punk going forward, not utilizing Bryan Danielson's built in chants and crowd pump up moments to pad your show out a little bit, baffling to me.
Yeah, and I think a lot was shown during this four-way in terms of what the conclusion is going to be, because Chekhov's bat was introduced in the first act and not used. Or it was used on Danielson, who then turned his neck and no-sold it. but with the Claudio thing, I think Jericho uses Floyd, and I think he uses it on Sammy Guevara. Now, whether or not he gets the pin or not, I don't know, because people have said, well, maybe Claudio gets the ROH title, and that's how we get to Final Battle, and then we have a match there. But I think Chris Jericho is going to be your Ring of Honor champion going into Final Battle, and I think he does it by pinning Sammy Guevara with the bat.
Oh, you think Jericho pins Guevara?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because it's quote unquote no DQ, because it's a four-way.
I see. Okay. Good. Yeah, Guevara's laid out. Jericho just worms onto Guevara. And that starts
does a cheap shot, blames Danielson or Claudio, and then pins him, and then says afterwards it wasn't him.
It could also just be like Danielson or Claudio have him laid out, and Jericho just worms it out, and then like because the thing is, who are you turning? I guess you'd turn Jericho babyface.
I don't think you
Guevara.
Turn anybody. I think it's just one of those things where heel on heel crime, and it's all you know. There's tension later, but it all, you know, they find a way to work through it type of thing.
Yeah. So that's why I would say maybe there's not actually a belt shot from Jericho or like a bat shot from Jericho. Okay. Jericho just steals a roll up sort of.
All right. I can go with that too, but I have Jericho retaining.
Yeah. Jericho retains.
Speaking of ice cold, Tony Storm, an ice storm versus Jamie Hayter singles match for the interim. Although Tony Khan is
coming through.
Yeah, well, Khan's saying he wants to now possibly make this unified, but wants to give Thunder Rosa a chance to come back, et cetera, et cetera. Tony Storm, Jamie Hayter, and the audience so badly wants Jamie Hayter to win this, and we've already been past this off-ramp once. This is the easiest call to make, because we've now gotten around again. Where it's time to see if Jamie Hayter can be a single star, because these fans want it. So they're going to do it.
And they should, but it's like...
They should, but...
Why is this the path? Why was this the... Like, you sign...
What did
Tony
you do
Storm.
Wrong to make this the path? That's
right.
The question.
Right. That, looking back on this, that has to be really assessed. When it was... Okay, we're going to, you know, make her the interim champion with this Thunder Rosa thing. This is ridiculous. Like this is the reason why you strip off the titles, because these stories have to move on. And Storm has never felt like a full-on champion because of this interim thing. And now you are at a juncture where you want to do a handoff to Hayter and see what she has as a baby heel. And that's a new thing I just came up with.
That's also very true in some ways. I mean, my God, it's like they're gonna turn this into, how are they gonna make Rebel a baby face? That's what
I mean, I guess they could, you know, do like she has like the hype girl jacket, kind of like a Death Triangle guy does.
Everybody who isn't an AEW original is now gonna have to join the JAS. That's the only way around this whole thing is now we're going to have the NWO
It really almost feels like they have put themselves in a scenario, narratively speaking, where like they need to just have like an unofficial brand war of WWE versus AEW because they booked themselves into this corner.
Well, this isn't the only feud they've done this on. They did this with the Acclaimed, right, too. We're homegrown. Screw you other guys. I'm just like, why are we doing this, guys? Why? If there's a point, great. If there's not, figure out a way out of it and start doing more quality control on your promos here. Speaking of which, the Acclaimed versus Swerve in Our Glory. What do you think of the music video, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they nailed Keith Lee.
Okay. I mean, it was funny. It wasn't unfunny. I thought they did a nice job. I mean, I think the sneaky Swerve stuff is kind of gone. Like it's not as funny as they're making you take a very long walk for not a long drink of water with that sneaky Swerve stuff.
I forget if it was Dre or Cube who did the diss track about Eazy-E. That's what this video reminded me of, was that old school stuff from the early 90s.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, I like it, but like this feud doesn't. To me, the interesting part of this feud is supposed to be with the Swerve and Keith Lee dynamic. How is Swerve working on Keith? Like, what is their interaction like? They're the question marks in this. Like, where are their heads at is the interesting story in this. And the Acclaimed being funny to me is less intriguing. You have this, you know, interesting dynamic with Lee and Swerve potentially. And I don't feel like it's really been utilized well. I think the Acclaimed retain. And I think, like, it feels to me like Swerve and Lee are just going to break up.
The Acclaimed are, I think we've nailed it before, they are AEW's New Age Outlaws. And within that becomes an issue, because while they are a decent team, there are so many better teams in AEW than them for them to be world tag champs. And this is a law of, I forgot what it is. It basically, this has been a 50-50 feud since the first match.
It's been diminishing returns.
Diminishing returns, that's the term I was looking for. Thank you. The law of diminishing
returns.
They're
not advancing a story with Lee and Swerve.
Right. They're going off that really hot first match where everybody said, my God, they overperformed. And they haven't lived up to that yet. And that's
the
a problem.
Completely underperformed. And there's just been times where they have crossed the narrative Rubicon with the characterization of both Lee and Swerve, including the hostage taking of Swerve.
the hostage thing? Yeah.
Yeah, which is played up for Yuck Yucks on Halloween, but like it's also a thing that happened. And you had Billy Gunn come out with his hands like taped up and he couldn't do stuff the following week. So like, for me, if they had actually committed to any sort of real characterization with Lee and Swerve, I'd be absolutely fine with this. It's fine that the Acclaimed are essentially like the New Age Outlaws. You know, I think they're more balanced team than the Outlaws.
Yes, I would agree. They are better than the Outlaws were at their peak in terms of wrestling ability. I think the interesting choice here is for Lee to go full heel, because I'm tired of team breakups as a
right. And I Lee should go full heel here. They should be trying to exploit this injury on Bowens. And if they don't do that, I'll be very disappointed if they don't just basically swerves like, let's work the injury I put on there. And Lee finally relents and does it.
And the audience turns on any match where they knock out Billy Gunn early so that they can avoid the whoa, scissor me daddy chance.
Yeah,
and that's a problem too, and they need to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, as good as Gunn has been for the Acclaimed, there are times where Gunn's presence seems like the big. Gunn feels like the road dog, and the Acclaimed feels like the Billy Gunn.
Brings us to Jon Moxley versus MJF. this last promo thing, to me, there was literally nothing good about it. Moxley kind of lacked, I don't know if the lackadaisical was a choice, But his whole go home promo was saying MJF hasn't worked. He was given this chip. It was the Soraya promo from 2 weeks ago on Britt Baker. His whole promo was MJF doesn't deserve this match. Boy, take my money. I mean, that's the sell you're going to give? Then MJF comes out and it's like...
And doesn't that sit in contrast with what he was saying just the week prior?
Yes, that he deserves this. And you know,
yeah, that he worked so hard. Like Moxley, how do you actually feel, homie?
And then we get MJF making this save, which was just... the only thing I could compare to was The Rock when he'd make a save during the Attitude Era. And like the guns fly over these soft punches and various pratfalls by the firm who, you know, they had just tried building up Ethan Page and now he's getting Three Stooges eye poked and shin kicked and sent out of the ring. He does all this. He cuts his promo over Moxley. Moxley just gets right back up and gets in his face. And you're like, well, wait a second. Wasn't Moxley beat down here? Or were these all just kind of, was this all a ruse? Which just had me thinking the whole thing's a ruse by everybody in here. If you had told me this was the dress rehearsal for the actual play, I would have believed you. But watching this entire thing, I just went, Who's going to buy this based on this go-home segment? I could not believe.
I know. How do you get excited for the match? For the match. Not the angle. The match. Like, these gentlemen are going to have a match. And I have very little heat for the match. Insofar as there is intrigue, it is for the angle that the match will be wrapped up in. This has just been such a bizarre presentation of Moxley and MJF here.
Yes.
Now
your pick. What's going to happen?
I think MJF wins the title. I think Moxley retaining here would be ridiculous. I think MJF's going to win the title and we're going to get some big angle and he's going to be revealed to be some sort of mastermind. How masterful and how mindful that will remain to be determined.
Who is he aligned with? The Pinnacle, the Firm, or William Regal?
William Regal. I am going to say that at the end of that all of this is building up to Regal screwing over Moxley. That Moxley's comment about Yuta being his young boy is important narratively in a way we don't fully understand yet, and that the image of Regal seemingly trying to defend John Moxley from MJF with his brass knuckles in hand is foreshadowing that MJF's going to win not with the Dynamite Diamond Ring, but in fact with Regal's brass knuckles. That's where I think we're going.
I agree as well. That's what I have. I know we have a hard out here. Some quick hits.
We still got about 20 minutes or so.
Okay, so we have time for Raw and NXT or even SmackDown if you wanted to go there. I'll just do a real quickie because I don't have a lot to say about, but it'll give you time to think of something if you don't have a topic on hand. I actually really like the LA Knight Bray Wyatt tete-a-tete on SmackDown on Friday.
It was really interesting.
I like heels that don't back down from other heels. And even though Bray's probably going to be a babyface in all this, but LA Knight has the cocksuredness to just say, look, I don't care about your stupid magic or whatever. Yeah, he's going to get his butt kicked in the end. But I like not all heels being cowardly.
Yes. I mean, I just like LA Knight so much more as this iteration of LA Knight versus...
Being a model? You know,
yeah, being Max Dupree. Yes.
Max Dupree! Here it goes, sir.
I thought that was good. Breaker and Wagner, boy, boy, did this not click.
Did you know that their fathers faced each other in the Steiners' first pay-per-view for WWF in 1993?
Did you know that fact cannot save a match. No, it can't. Not it can't save
it.
No, I know. That was so much of what they were trading on. I wasn't trying to razz you. I was more making like that. That was clearly what they thought was going to be enough to get this thing over. But man,
Chris, what's worse, Frankensteiner?
That was pretty nasty.
Chris, what's worse, this match or the fact that since NXT lost War Games, we now have brought back basically TNA King of the Mountain for NXT. This match description was like the Marx Brothers contract scene in A Night at the Opera. The party in the first part in this part will be known as the party of the first part. My God, can't we just have a good match? Just have a feud and then think of something special. Instead, this is where NXT and wrestling and other companies have now become Applebee's and Chili's, where it's like we have this poor steak, so we have to have some sort of gimmicky sauce.
The Razzler sauce.
Try our raspberry Jack Daniel's bourbon glaze or whatever the hell we're going to put on this thing.
The spicy Razzler.
So we have, okay, we have five competitors. It's a 25-minute match. Two people start. Each 5 minutes, somebody comes out. If you get pinned, you get put in a penalty box.
I think the part where when you come out of the penalty box, you have to wear weights is a little bit excessive. You know, like you have to wear arm and leg weights for the duration.
You know, we have a stockade where the villagers can pelt fruit at you.
I'm still a little unclear on the deployment of the obstacle course in the second phase of the match, but
well,
I'm really excited to see its utilization.
If you're ahead on points, you get that much of a head start on the obstacle course, and then the person who wins at the end is considered the American Gladiator.
It would be better if they all just did the Eliminator Challenge. Yes. I would rather watch them do the Eliminator Challenge and then have the punji stick or the pugil stick fight on the little balconies at the end than whatever this match is.
Yes, I am here. I'm actually here for Carmelo Hayes doing the Eliminator on American Gladiators.
It actually would be kind of a fun thing to have, like, these people of various sizes using different skill sets to get through these different challenges. And then, yeah, that little look, we joke about it, but the little pugil thing that they used to do in 90s American Gladiators, kind of a fun thing.
I'm going to say this, and this is going to Raw. I actually like what they did with Austin Theory here. I just wish they had done it before the cash in.
Yeah,
like his promo was logical.
It's like they listened to Shake Them Ropes from the previous week.
Everybody listened to Shake Them Ropes the previous week because everybody then addressed this stuff in their promo.
But it's too late now.
Yes.
Like Theory saying all this stuff now makes a lot of sense, but he should have said it 2 weeks ago.
That said, him being born again tough, I liked. I like more tough guys. I like tough heels. I like the viciousness of him. Now, the problem is all this viciousness is in service of getting Bobby Lashley over. You know, same with the World Cup. Like, the World Cup is a great thing where it's like, oh, look, we're going to have great wrestling matches. And then you realize Mustafa Ali's just going to get tossed like a rag doll by Bobby Lashley the moment he's out of this cup. So it's like, well, what's the use of this then? It was a noble effort. It was a noble effort to recoup what was lost with this Austin Theory Money in the Bank briefcase. It was just the story needed to be told 2 months ago, not the week after he does a failed cash in.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to see if there's anything else on NXT that is of note to me. I'll let's go with this, not because I think it was great, but actually because I felt like it's worth noting. I thought Alba Fire and Manny Rose just didn't deliver. Unfortunately, this just didn't click.
Your girl's back, though, Chris.
Yes. Mike, why do you always say this? I feel like this
because
is
you were the one on the show who always defended her, and it just drove
me. No, I never did. You've been claiming this literally for years.
She wasn't that bad.
The gag at this point is now that you have been insisting this for years, and
Isla Dawn kids.
No, she's wonderful.
Back.
I love Isla Dawn. She's wonderful.
And
she's
Chris
always
could not
that.
Be happier.
Yeah, always have always thought she's great. Have oh. always said that. This, I mean,
she needed to be a part of the dyad.
Womp 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 womp.
Yeah, I just yeah, and that weak missed shot or whatever the hell it was. I'll say something good about NXT though. I thought JD McDonagh and Apollo Crews was pretty good.
I thought it was too. You know, a little perplexed with what they're doing with McDonagh, but I thought the match was good.
And Thea Hale has now grown on me officially.
Oh yeah, she's good. Yeah, she's funny
as an actress, not as yeah. a wrestler. But
yeah, no,
but that
no,
whole,
no.
I mean, look, Duke Hudson not winning any awards for his performance in that.
No,
thing.
Duke's not.
Andre
great.
Chase is Al Pacino-ing the hell out of this thing, where he's just, oh, I need to stroke my chin now to show that I am ponderous. Just...
No, she's funny though. Thea Hale's just like she's a character. It pops on the screen.
I have another note about Raw.
Okay.
Mia Yim being added to this War Games, mostly a positive. It gets some questions going as to who the fifth person is going to be, because a lot of people were kind of penciling in Sasha and Naomi coming back. And by the way, Sasha's made some very interesting trademark news this week. I wouldn't say it's a sure thing that she's in the fold. But also, if she were in the fold, this would be the kind of move to make people think she weren't in the fold by, like, trademarking Mercedes Moné and things like that. Just saying. I like Mia Yim in this War Games. Part of me hopes she gets a chance to be in this War Games, but it would make me howl with laughter if it became a running joke in WWE that every time Mia Yim is put in the War Games, she gets knocked out and has a replacement. Because that's how they did the Dakota Kai turn in NXT at one time. It would make me laugh if they just decided to take her out. That heel team, I'm here for it. I really am. It's a great little heel. Damage Control, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley together. Yeah, here for that.
Yeah, no, I got a candidate that you haven't considered. Knox.
Tegan Knox, yeah.
Knox.
Oh yeah, Knox. Yeah,
she's just Knox. Yeah,
no
yeah,
tank.
They dropped Tegan a while ago.
I got one that would get like crickets in the arena, but would make me pop. Mako Satomura.
Oh, yes.
On Mako the babyface side.
No, she'd be great.
Give me that. Give me old grizzled veteran Mako Satomura in a War Games, please. I'll take that.
I think that'd be a cool move. I mean, especially if
it's
like
not, it's gonna be a name. It's gonna be a name.
Yeah, I mean, the story there would be have Asuka bring in her buddy.
Yeah,
Asuka's the one who, you know, next week you have Asuka go like, I have a plan, and her plan is Mako.
Yeah, I'm very. And the other intriguing thing about that baby face, I'm intrigued about Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss, when she has a chip on her shoulder, will. Oh Jesus. I just had my Alexa go off because I had to say something. Shut up, Alexa. I gotta wait.
Okay, so Bliss.
So Bliss. She goes above and beyond because she has that horsewoman chip on her shoulder. Now, it'd be very interesting if Sasha were on Alexa Bliss's team and they were in a War Games cage together. But at the same time, Alexa Bliss intrigues me in a War Games match. Because she's able to do hardcore matches pretty well.
Yeah, I think that this War Games match could potentially be a very, very good match.
It looks like the men's side is lining up to be Bloodline versus Drew, the Brutes, and the New Day. Which
would be a fine match too. Yeah, no, yeah, I think the Bloodline obviously prevail in this, but I think it will be a good match with a fun story, and the Bloodline continue to be just, you know, one of the highlights of wrestling weeks every
yes.
week.
Also, well, like the Brutes feud with everybody is very good too. I mean,
right.
I've enjoyed the hell out of them.
Yeah, the Brute match style is a very engaging and fun match style.
Or it's gonna be, hold on, it might just be Drew and Sheamus. and then the New Day. And I think Owens was penciled in here, but they may just get somebody else as well.
Oh, interesting. So it would just be Sheamus, not the Brutes?
Yeah, because I think the New Day is going to be in on this.
Interesting.
I mean, I will. I would take the Brutes.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to have, like, maybe, I guess, Drew the Brutes and... because Sheamus' arm is still wrapped up, so maybe
The whole story is that Drew and Sheamus have come to an agreement. So.
Agreement, yes. Yeah, that they finally buried the hatchet. Which is actually a lovely payoff from like the stories that they were telling a couple of years ago.
Here's the interesting choice. Okay, you get Drew, Sheamus, and the New Day. And then Gunther. And they make a deal with Gunther because somehow the bloodline gets on his bad side. And so you have the Brutes and Imperium watching and just kind of giving each other side eye the whole time. And you have Gunther come in there and just kill Sami Zayn. That's what I want.
Gunther as the wild card for the babyface team would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's just everybody hates the bloodline. There's no
right
heel alignment.
Right. But that would actually get people really excited for the it would make sure that the face team has enough energy to overcome the cool factor of the bloodline.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I got, sir.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, was there anything else on Raw of note here? Gable and Riddle had a real nice match.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, they're real nice match. Really, really nice match. Rollins, fun little weave through character for them right now. JBL and Baron Corbin still stinks.
Mm-hmm.
That's just never gonna quick or never gonna click. I kind of like Dominic Mysterio. He's kind of growing on me.
He's growing on me too, but it's all about the interactions with Rhea.
Yeah, no, for sure. But like, he's in stride right now as this character, and I'm enjoying it.
He's a complete simp, and I love
it. Yeah. I like it. And yeah, that's all I got too.
Enjoy your Full Gear weekend, kids. We will be back after Thanksgiving sometime for those of you in the States. Enjoy that and any time with your family you might have. This has been Shake Them Ropes. I am at CrapGame13 on the old Twitterverse. I do a show called The Dynamite Show on the Fight Game Media Network, patreon.com/fightgamemedia, $5 a month. Get you a bunch of shows. But we are a part of Voices of Wrestling, Podcasting Network, The Flagship, Music of the Mat, 5-Star Match Game, Open the Voice Gate, etc. Whatever you're wrestling, Jones. We have a podcast for it. Chris also has other projects. He's going to tell you about them now.
Yeah. You can go and follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/doctor_Nove. You can catch up with my music and all of that there. If you want to hear the releases of my music, whether it is stuff that I've done with William and the Wild Cards or my own EP, you can find that over at patreon.com/DWATG. I will also be getting back to episodes of the show, but for the time being here, for those of you who sub up, you get my music for free, so you guys can go and check out stuff that I'm doing over there at patreon.com/dwatg.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.